Good morning, Highlands, and happy Mother's Day to all of you. We're so excited that you're here with us today. So my name is Karen Eggeberg, and I have been married to my husband, Rich, for 34 years. We've been coming here. The first service went, oh. but we've been coming here for 8 years. I love it. I'm the women's ministry director here at the Highlands, and I'm surrounded by an incredible group of women that that are in that ministry with me. I absolutely love it. A little background on me. I spent a little over 20 years running a youth ministry, which I absolutely loved doing that. And now I'm a full-time photographer. The name of my business is His Image Photography, and I'm right here in Delano. My studio is over by Napa Auto Parts. So I'm also the mother of two boys. If you didn't catch the last name, I am Pastor Brody's mom, and his sweet wife's name is Abby, and our younger son, Noah, his wife's name is Hannah, and they live out in Lakeville and go to Everyday Church, and they're expecting their first baby in October. So here's a cute picture of my family. We're almost outnumbered by dogs. But not, we're just about there. But that's my sweet family. What would Mother's Day be without giving a shout out to my own mom? So this next slide. So this is my mom. My dad had passed by this picture with most of her kids married, grandkids, great-grandkids. But I love the picture of her. It says, remember, as far as anyone knows, we are a nice, normal family. There's a lot going on in that brouhaha of people. I will say that. But my mom really is a hero to me. She grew up in a poor home with a lot of other struggles in addition to that, and parented seven kids really, really well, along with my dad. I look back and I don't remember seeing evidence of her childhood home in my childhood home. She's a strong woman with a deep faith, and I longed to model that love to my own kids someday. Another great influence on my life was Richard's mom, Charlotte, another prayer warrior, beautiful woman of God. She had a good, strong hug that she'd like smack you on the back so hard you'd be like, hi, Charlotte, you know. But she's just had a kind heart, contagious laugh, and I just adore her. And of course, both grandpas had such a great influence on our boys as well. Would you bow your head and pray with me this morning? Dear Lord, we just thank you for this beautiful day and these beautiful women. Lord, there are so many seasons in our lives, from the longing to be a mom to being a mom. I pray that no matter where these women find themselves in that journey today, that they would know that they are loved and cherished by you. We ask that you would be present with us and speak to our hearts today. In your name we pray. Amen. So, I loved Mother's Day. I loved writing gushy notes to my mom and getting pictures with her and just honoring her. Like, I always looked forward to it, picking out the perfect gift. After Rich and I got married, though, we immediately started trying for kids and entered into kind of a wilderness of our own as we tried to conceive, and it took us many, many years to conceive. And so Mother's Day kind of took a shift in my heart at that point. I felt pretty empty and pretty sad. And as I struggled to conceive, I realized that my heart was starting to break, for we waited for almost 3 years. It's hard not to make an idol out of something that is the first thought in your mind every morning. Bam. You take your temperature before you get out of bed. You're 2 years in of doing this every single day. All of the tests and the doctor's appointments and then all of the no's when you took that monthly test to see if you had conceived. But I did. I made it an idol. There was no happiness for me outside of conceiving. So I could see that this long journey really had taken its toll on me and my relationship with the Lord. I was starting to wonder if he even cared about me. I started to believe lies that he didn't think I'd be a good mom. So that's why he wasn't making me one. And so I didn't want this soul wound, though, to fester in me. And so after it was over 2 years, after that time, I thought, I'm going to go to the Lord with this pain. And I was like, what do you want? What do you want me to do next? And he said, I want you to fast and pray. And he brought me to this story of Hannah in the Old Testament, who was like 2,000 years old and still wanted to have a baby. But she fasted, prayed, and petitioned to God for a son. And I was like, I can do that. So I started doing that, and you would think, the other thing that God told me is he said, I want you to thank me every time you get a no. So you'd think with that little heads up that I was going to encounter more no's, but I didn't. I thought, I'm fasting and praying. This is going to be good. I'm going to have a kid. And so the first month goes by, and it's a negative. Now, he told me to thank him. He didn't say how to thank him. And so I raised it up, and I was like, thanks a lot. That was my thanks. So by the next month, now I'm 60 days into fasting and praying every single day, and I could feel him starting to dismantle that idol in my life. And went and took the test. It was another negative one. And I said, all right, Lord, I submit. I submit to your timing. I understand you're God, and I am not. I love you, and I trust you. So the third month, I thought, After being so good in the second month, I thought the third month for sure would bring a positive test. So this time I found myself on my knees in the bathroom and I prayed over the test before I took it and flipped it over and it was another negative test. And I looked at that and I said, thank you, Lord. And I was actually relieved. And the only way that I could explain that to you now is that the Holy Spirit had landed on me because I bent a knee to God and to his will and I submitted to what he had for me and trusting him more. So I started enjoying Mother's Day again. I loved it with my mom. I went through some seasons where I did not like Mother's Day. And now I'm kind of back to kind of feeling better, you know, better about it again. And so the fourth month after those 3 months of fasting, your Gen Z pastor was conceived. You're welcome. So I'm going to put a picture up of my boys here. And so look, it looks like I was rocking life, doesn't it? Like there's no problems going on up there at all. So these were my boys. But on February 15th, before all of this, Brody was about 3 years old, 3.5 years old, and our son Noah was born. And it was not long after he was born, we found out that he had a heart defect. And he only had a 50-50 chance of surviving the surgery that he needed for that heart defect. And so I went into that Mother's Day wondering if my child was going to survive. And I remember having him in my lap and looking in his little eyes and wondering if I was going to be looking into his eyes tomorrow night. Like that's kind of where I was at. And the Lord said to me, if I take him, am I still going to be your God? And I said, absolutely. I would never be able to lose a child without you, you know. Well, thankfully, Noah is sitting right here with us. He's got a good, strong heart, a lot of prayer. That's a crazy story in of itself, but a lot of people were praying for him. So here at about this stage, when the guys were still very young, the Lord called me to start praying for their wives. And so I started praying almost every day for their wives, for their friends, for their families. And, you know, every now and then I would just kind of get this little quicken in my heart in the middle of the day. And it'd be like, one of your girls is having a little trouble in middle school. Start praying for her and her friends, you know. And so it was amazing because it was a long journey of that. So when I actually got to meet Hannah and Abby, it wasn't like you're an answer to a prayer. You were an answer to over 20 years of praying. And to put their cute little faces in front of all those prayers was amazing to me. Once the boys got into middle school, the Lord called us to expand their territory. And so we started, with every birthday, we started to say, okay, we want you to make good decisions. And to do that, we're going to have to let you make some. So every birthday, we asked them, what should you get to do this year that you didn't get to do last year? And it usually was something like this. Let us drive around the bike around the neighborhood without you. And I'd be like, yeah, like, you know what? That's a good idea. So we would kind of pray about it, and then we would go back to the kids and tell them how we were going to expand their territory. And I do have to say, they're both very good decision makers. So once they turned teenagers, my dad wrote all 7 of us kids on our 13th birthday a letter. And it was composed of how much he loved us. And then the second portion was a call that he saw on us, that he saw the character traits that mirrored Christ's image in each of us. It was very unique. And then the third was a call to walk with God for our whole lives. I wanted to do this with our boys. And the only thing that I added to it, so I wrote the letters in the exact same format, but what I added was having godly people that were in their lives and were the reason that they loved God come over to our house and lay hands on them and bless them. And so we prayed for God to anoint them as leaders, even in high school, that they'd be young men that loved the Lord and loved God's word. And then, of course, that they would chase godly women. Those were our prayers for them. So come along to high school. The Lord called us to allow them to speak into our lives. Not that they couldn't do that beforehand, but it was like a rite of passage. And so we sat them both down and said, you guys have solid faiths. We really trust where you are with the Lord. And so we're allowing you now to just speak into our lives. If you see anything ungodly, if you think we're parenting you in some way, we want you to come and tell us. So if you're going to follow our lead on that one, you better buckle up. Because if you open that door, they will walk through it. But I will tell you, the fruit that came out of that was that we had young men who knew how to admonish someone with love and respect. They knew how to tell the truth in love because they were modeling it in high school. And if you know either of my boys, you know that they do that even to this day. So go a little more forward now here to They are adult men. They both proposed to their girls. They got married 6 weeks apart during my busy photography season, so that was fun. And so I wrote my girls a letter because I had been praying for them for so long. So I wrote them a letter. I told them, you're in my inner circle now. I love you, and I want you to know you can come to me with anytime you want, you can come to me. But I also knew that it was time to change the boundary lines, right? They're getting married. So I said, we've never been in-laws before, and you've never been married before, so let's show each other some love and grace as we re-navigate what this relationship looks like. And then I said, and I know there'll be a day where babies are going to come, and we'll reroute them again. So this is just a little snippet of my journey through being a mom up until now. And as you can hear, my own story brought many seasons, ones of great joy, hope for the future, and seasons of waiting, fear, and grief. You may find yourself full of joy today, and we rejoice with you. This is one of my favorite passages, Proverbs 31:25. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. This was a landmark verse for me as I was raising my kids. I love to laugh, I love to have fun, but I wanted to be a wise mom that made intentional choices. At the same time, there could be a sister sitting just to the right or left of you that is really hurting today. Maybe her arms are still empty, or maybe she has a hard child to raise, or maybe her mom just passed. Who knows for what reason somebody might be struggling today. But I want you to know that God is with you. Jesus' life was marked by seasons of pain, but it was through that pain that he made all things right. In Isaiah 41:10, it says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you and uphold you with my righteous right hand." They call this a season for a reason. It's only a short time, and I just want to encourage you that we're going to stand with you today when we end this service with a time of prayer. We're going to stand with you and ask God to move in your situation, whatever it is. So today, we want you to know that we honor both camps. No matter where you find yourself, it's okay to be where you're at, and we're going to love you through that. So there was one Mother's Day when the boys were in middle school that really impacted me. We were running late to our family gathering, and I had to grab some food. And so I'm running through the grocery store, and I'm grabbing all my things. And as I'm running past the deli, there's this upper 60, maybe 70-year-old woman, and she's filling the deli counter. And the Lord says to me, "Go tell her that I see her, and I love her, and happy Mother's Day." And I'm like, "Yeah, no, that's weird. I'm not doing that." And I went and I got in line. And then he said, "Karen, I told you to go tell her that I see her and I love her and happy Mother's Day." So I walked over there, and by this time the Lord was doing this like kind of often. And so I started a lot of sentences like this. "You might think I'm crazy." So I did start it like that. And then I said, "But really the Lord wants you to know that he sees you today and that he loves you and happy Mother's Day." And the tears just came. And she grabbed me and she hugged me and she said, "Thank you so much for saying that to me today." And I said, "Well, bless you today." And I went on my way. And I got in the car with Rich and I said, "Well, I don't know what was going on there, but someone was supposed to say happy Mother's Day to her and they weren't going to be able to do it. Maybe she had a child who was estranged from her that day. Maybe her child had just passed away. But once I thought about this a little more, I thought maybe she had suffered a miscarriage or a stillborn. Maybe she has a nonverbal special needs child. Maybe she had an abortion. Whether it was her having a child who won't say it or can't say it, or on behalf of a child who was no longer with her, he said it. So maybe, though, for you, today brings a different kind of heartache. Maybe you're in a waiting season to be a mom like I was. Maybe your mom has passed, was absent, or hurt you. Maybe your child is sick, or maybe you have a strong-willed child. Maybe you're a single mom or a military mom, and that just makes being a mom kind of hard. Men can have a heartache on Mother's Day for some of these same reasons. And the truth is, there's many ways that pain and disappointment can make their way into a day like today, one that's meant for celebrating. If any of these scenarios are true for you, and this is a hard Mother's Day for you, it's important to pay attention how your pain makes its way into your story. How is it affecting the season of waiting that you're in? How is it affecting your relationships or the way that you parent? I'm going to share a Bible verse with you that I absolutely love. It's one of my favorites, James 1, 1 through 4. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you can be mature, complete, and not lacking anything." I want to break down this verse a little bit. That word testing in this verse is actually a silversmith term. And it's when a silversmith boils the silver and the impurities come to the top and he wipes them away. And then he boils it again and he wipes it away. And he continues to do that until he sees his own reflection in the silver. Once he sees that, he knows that something beautiful can be made of it. I think it's so interesting that God would tuck that word with that meaning into a verse about our trials. He wants to see himself when he looks at us in these areas of testing. And that sludge that comes up, we have a couple of choices of what to do with that. So this is what this might look like for a mom who's in a good season. At least it was for me. You might be in complete joy and skipping through life, and that is amazing, and we're there with you. There are a lot of moms who are in a great season. However, there is a light film at the boiling point for you. And this was what was true for me. I was in a great season, but what the enemy did is he distracted me from the season I was in and didn't let me enjoy it. And so maybe for you, you're distracted about a messy house. Or maybe he's getting you to covet things so you're not even happy with this beautiful life that is sitting right in front of you. Maybe with some breathing room in your life, you've etched him out and filled it up with things to do. And so that is so easy to do when we're in a good place, isn't it? To just kind of whittle God out. You know, we kind of don't need him. And then as soon as pain comes, we're right back on our knees with him. And Satan does that. He tries to get us busy as moms so we forget who God is. Maybe things are going so well that you place your identity in being a mom. Don't ever do that. Our identity is not in being a mom. Your identity is found in Scripture and Scripture alone. You are his daughter. You are loved. You are redeemed. You are valued. And that is just a few things. These are things that do not ebb and flow with the seasons. If you put your identity in anything other than what Scripture says, whether it's your looks, your money, being a mom or whatever, there are seasons that go up and down, which means the way you feel about yourself will also go up and down. And so stay solid in knowing that your identity is secure. So what is the sludge to the person in a hard season today? Your impurities might be a little thicker and go a little deeper. The waiting, the loss, the fear of the future, it starts to feel weighty. So we have two options on how to respond to James in this verse. Our wounds can be a really familiar friend. And I think a lot of times that's why we stay in them, because they're just familiar and we know them and we know how to roll. We know how to stuff them. But that means you leave the sludge at the surface and you might be living like this distracted, busy life and your soul should be at rest, but it isn't. Or maybe the wounds go deeper than that. And we find that we are distancing ourselves from the Lord like I did, and we're becoming more fearful, sad, angry, and bitter. The truth of the matter is, we want to be people who are changed by God. I am about to read an Instagram post that I really liked. I'm going to tell you that this is about childhood wounds from your parents. But after doing prayer ministry with people for over 30 years now, I can tell you that this is true for men and women, and that it can be a wound from any time in your life, from any person. It's not just childhood trauma from your parents. And so we're going to put these slides up there for you. You're not parenting your child. Your unhealed trauma is. Science confirms that your nervous system builds theirs. What you suppress, they store. What you don't heal, they inherit. Every time you react from your wounds, you're teaching them exactly how to carry your pain. Each trigger is illuminating exactly where you need to heal to become the parent that they need. Studies show that parents' unresolved childhood wounds predict their response to their own child's emotions with 75% accuracy. Scary. We don't parent from books, we parent from the past. You're not failing as a parent, you're being invited to heal. The most powerful parenting tool isn't discipline or consistency or love, although those are good things. It's not about perfection. It never was. Oh, I have skipped one. It's your willingness to heal. So your child doesn't have to carry what was never theirs. It's not about perfection. It never was. That's impossible. It's about breaking what broke you so it never touches them. The healing becomes their freedom. Your courage to heal becomes their security. Your faith becomes their foundation. You don't need to be perfect to change your child's life. You just need to become the safe place that they never had. The famous Psalm 23, when it talks about the valley of the shadow, we have to take note of what it says. It says we walk through the valley of the shadow. It does not say we stay there, camp out, and pitch a tent. If we leave today the same way that we came in and don't heed the word of God today, what you're doing is you're pitching a tent in the valley and determined to just stay where you are. The Lord doesn't want that for you. He wants you to open up your heart and let him in and let you leave here a different person than you walked in. So option two is our response to James. We can face trials and the impurities in us as we can kind of feel them rising to the top, and we can allow the Lord to wipe them away so he sees his reflection in us. How do we do that? So the last part of this little part of James that I'm going through gives us the answer. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives it generously without finding fault, and it will be given to him. This word wisdom in this verse is not general wisdom for life. It's wisdom for the testing. They click together like Legos. You need wisdom on what you're going through. The Lord has it for you, okay? The other part I love about this is he says that he gives it without finding fault. He doesn't care how you ended up in the valley. If it's by your own doing or by someone else doing something to you, he wants to give you the wisdom today even to get up and out of that valley. So if you need wisdom for a child that's hard to parent, you need a fresh breath of hope in your story, or you need help forgiving somebody who's hurt you, this is for you. This verse in James is for you. So this is what this might look like for someone who's in a good but distracted season. Lord, I see that I'm not reaping the blessings of this incredible season you have me in. Show me what is distracting me and bring me back to a place of peace and joy in this season. If this is a hard season, it might look like this. Lord, what do you want me to know? In what ways should I allow this test to refine me? So when you look at me, you see your own reflection in me. Our soul wounds need treatment, and the only way they're going to be healed is if we acknowledge them, uncover them, and hold them up to the one who can help. Hear this. He doesn't want you parenting or living from this place. He longs to heal you and make you whole. You would never leave like a gaping wound in your leg go without going to the doctor. As it gets bigger and more swollen and more painful, you would never let that fester. The same should be true about our soul wounds. And so what does this look like? In Psalm 147:3, this is another favorite verse of mine. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. There are a lot of verses about wounds. This particular verse is talking about a soul wound. There, if you look up the word wound, the root meaning in other verses, sometimes it means a trauma wound, a relationship wound. There's a lot of different wounds. This is just a sorrow wound in this one. This is so packed with God's truth. So I'm going to share, I reworded it with the root meanings of all the words in it. And this is what this might look like. He carefully and meticulously mends the heart that is crushed and broken into pieces, making it whole again. He will compress and stop the bleeding of their soul wound. About a year ago, Pastor Aaron was talking about wounds, actually, and I love what he said. He said, Jesus had scars, but he didn't live wounded. That could be true for you too. So what is the invitation today? To spend some time praising him for the season you're in, for the godly mentors and women he's put in your life. Maybe you're just enjoying life, but you've really never stopped to just thank him and praise him for everything that he's given you. Maybe you're that little bit of sludge and you need to shift your weight from being unsatisfied to satisfied in the season that you're in. Keep your eyes fixed on the things that really matter and not let the enemy distract you. Or maybe today is a deeper healing for you to get rid of the things that are weighing you down. You need to know that when we hold on to our soul wounds, what happens is our souls get heavy and they get full. We come to church and we cry out to God to fill us up, but we're so full that there's no room for him. This is what this looks like to make room for him, to get real with him, to tell him how you feel, to get it out, to find people that can come around you and help you heal from your past. That leaves more room for his presence in your life. And so how do we start the healing process? I'm not a professional counselor, so these are just things in my own life that I wanted to share with you. Number one is to give access to your heart. That's number one. If you've closed off your heart to him, it's time to open it up. Tell him how you feel and let him heal you. Number two is forgive. This might be forgiving your mom, forgiving yourself, or a child who has hurt you. I want to explain forgiveness a little bit. Forgiveness is not saying what the person did is okay. If I had a bag of rocks here and that represented all the hurt that somebody has inflicted on you, you're not tipping that bag open and dumping the rocks out like it never happened. What you're doing is you're taking the weightiness of those offenses and those hurts and you're taking them and giving them to Jesus. They're just as weighty. They're just in the right hands when we do that. If you have a repeat offender in your life, then when they kind of repeat again, what you're doing is you're only dealing with a pebble. You're not adding on to the burden that you're carrying around when you refuse to forgive somebody. The other thing is forgiveness is an act of obedience. It's not a feeling. So you may, when we pray later in a little bit, forgive someone for something that they've done that's hurt you. If you don't feel anything, that doesn't mean you didn't do it. feelings follow, not the other way around. And so you have done it if you've forgiven that person. All right. Renewing hope in your situation. This is for infertility, broken relationships with your mom or your children. Proverbs 13:2 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Well, that's not just hoping for a really long time. Deferred means you actually have stopped hoping. So like if you go buy a couch you can't afford and you have deferred payments, you're not actually making payments, right? So this is saying I no longer hope in what I was hoping for that restored relationship with my mom, for that baby, you stopped hoping. And so we don't want to be in a place like that because it says right here, it makes our heart sick when we're there. And so we want to keep hoping. Number four, making declarations. I love finding the word of God that is about things that I'm going through. I write them on my mirrors. I declare them over my life. And what that does is it tips my chin up to God and I'm focusing on his promises and his words instead of my circumstances and what I'm feeling. Because sometimes our circumstances don't match up with his promises and we don't want to focus on those and lose hope. Number five, pray for restoration and even miracles. We can never ask for miracles and never see them, or we can ask for them all the time and see some of them. And so I am someone who I know that we have a God who can, and I'm never going to regret hoping in him for a miracle in the stories that we have. Lastly, sit in his presence, read his word, journal what you sense him saying to you. I like asking him questions and then just sitting quiet and seeing how he'll answer. I want to make one note about this, especially if you make a practice of this at home, which I hope you do. He will never, ever, ever say anything shameful or damning to you. He won't do that. Even if you're coming before him about your own sin, he loves you and is so tender. I can tell you after 30 years of doing prayer ministry, and it's with people who've done some pretty harsh things, the Lord was so tender with them every single time. I've never heard the Lord ever speak to anyone harshly. And so he is a safe place to grieve, confess, and receive from him. So with this comes powerful prayers instead of desperate ones. We find new hope in the waiting and feel encouraged again. We find restoration after loss. We find freedom from the weightiness of unforgiveness. The band can make its way up too here. So with all of this, what does this mean for us as a church? We want to be church family where you can come and say what hurts, and we are going to come around you and help you. And you can unearth those things that you've been hiding and keeping your heart closed off to. We want this to be a safe place for you. If you're in a season of blessing, we want to cheer you on and we want to just celebrate with you. We want to be that because that's the way we should be in our own families, and we're a church family, and we want to respond to your lives in the same way. So as we wrap up, we're going to spend a little bit of time in prayer. This is be a very private time. Don't worry, nobody's getting out of their seats. But the men and the women have different roles, okay? So men, I'm going to ask you to intercede for the women here today. What that means is you're going to pray that she hears from the Lord, that he discerns her voice today, that if anything else specific that he calls you to pray for, I want you to pray for it with boldness and power, okay? Ladies, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads at the same time with the men when I tell you to. And if your heart is ready, start pulling up some tent stakes today and ask the Lord to speak truth into the season that you're in. Now, keep in mind that you may or may not sense his presence today. He's going to speak to you maybe in a word or a picture. Sometimes he runs a little movie in front of your brain. But I want you to know that even if you don't sense him saying anything to you during this quiet time, he is here. He is omnipresent. He is sitting beside you. He hears your prayers. He cares about what you're saying, okay? There's another way that Jesus shows himself, and that's what I just described, a manifestation of his presence. Like I had that happen in the deli that day. So you might hear him speak to you today, but I feel like he doesn't do that every single time because it'd be like cheesecake then. You know what I mean? And so there's just time and place for things like that. And so time with him is never wasted. If you don't hear him today, you keep spending time with him. You keep spending time in his word. You keep sitting quiet with him and keep asking questions, and he will answer. Okay, so we're going to put a slide up here. Ladies, I want you to pick one of these or some of your own. You know where you're at. Maybe it's just thanking him for good moms, mentors, and mother-in-laws. Maybe it's time for a spiritual reset to fix your eyes on the blessings of this season that you're in. Maybe you need to forgive someone. Please be specific. Don't make broad statements about someone you're forgiving. Say their name and say the stuff. And if it's you, say your name and say the stuff. and put it under you, put it behind you, okay? Lord, maybe you've lost hope and it's time, you just tell him, I want to take hope off a shelf today and keep hoping, okay? That's your prayer. Lastly, maybe the sludge is deep and the wounds go hard down there and it just hurts. Well, for that, I want you to say, Lord, give me wisdom in this testing. What do you want me to know today? Or how can I lean into you so I reflect your image in my pain? How do you want me to come up and out of this season? Okay? So I'm going to ask you right now to bow your head. I'm going to open us up in prayer, but then we're going to sit in a moment of silence. And silence is tension. We don't like sitting quiet. We have busy minds and we're busy people. But we're going to sit in that tension for about a minute. And we're going to give the Lord time to speak to you. So bow your heads and pray with me. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for those who are about to praise you, for the joyful hearts and the seasons of rest they're in, for the godly women that you've put in their life, Lord. We also pray, Father, for those who've been distracted. Maybe today is the first day they've realized that they're being distracted and they're not living in this blessed season that you have them in. For those with deeper wounds, Lord, we're asking that you speak to them right now. We are corporately coming together on every woman's behalf right now, that you would speak into the season that they're in. Lord, if someone needs to forgive someone, Lord, I pray that they put that behind them. Maybe it's a grudge they've been holding on to for 20 years, or maybe it's something that happened yesterday. But Lord, we're asking that they would release the weightiness of unforgiveness and put them in your hands, trust them to you. Lord, if there are people that are hurting, Lord, I pray that these ladies would give you access to their heart again today. We ask that they would pull up the tent stakes and let you in and let the healing begin today. Lord, for those who have empty arms and are still waiting, oh Lord, we claim Psalm 113. He gives the childless woman a family, making her a happy mother. And in Exodus 23, it says, there will be no miscarriages or infertility in your land, and I will give you a long, full life. Father, we come before you corporately on behalf of all the empty arms in this church. And we're asking, Lord, that you would open their wombs and bring babies into our midst. I pray that next year we have a huge group of women up here saying, look what God did, with round bellies and full arms. Lord, speak to your kids. We're here and we're listening. In your name.